KPBS On Demand is supported by Marichal Design and Remodeling, helping homeowners with their home remodeling needs. From ADUs to kitchen remodels, room additions, and custom homes, Marichal Design and Remodeling can help homeowners design and build their dream homes. More at trustyourhometous.com.
Welcome in San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. You know, there are so many influences on our local economy. Today, we'll talk about what's shaping it and where it's headed. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. San Diego County's unemployment rate shot up in June to 4.9%, up nearly a full percent from May. That news comes as the leading economic index fell in June, which raises more concerns about the overall health of the economy. Here to make sense of this is Daniel Enemark. He is the chief economist at the Policy and Innovation Center here in San Diego. Daniel, welcome back to Midday Edition.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here. So what's behind San Diego's rise in unemployment?
We've seen for a long time now a decrease in employment in professional and business services, which includes some very, very kind of high-paid advanced careers in professional and technical services. And it also includes organizations that help run, you know, administrative aspects of other businesses. So that was our biggest drop. And that's really too bad because that's a high productivity area of the economy. It's a high paid area of the economy. And so it's not great for our overall economy to be losing those jobs. But what we saw was an across the board drop. Now, June is the worst month in San Diego. It's always the worst month. And so it's not surprising that we saw an increase in unemployment, but this is the largest increase in unemployment we've seen in June in recorded data. So since 1990, this is the biggest bump in unemployment we've seen.
What concerns you most about the uptick in San Diego County's unemployment rate?
My heart goes out to the families who are struggling to make ends meet when somebody loses a job, to the graduates who are entering the workforce in an economy where maybe there's not as many opportunities as there might have been last year. I think that's the real problem, is how it impacts families, right? You know, people tend to think of the economy as numbers and dollars, and the economy is people. And so when the unemployment rate goes up, it means that there's more families who are struggling to make ends meet. But it also means when the unemployment rate's higher that it's typically going to be harder to find a job when you lose one, which means the duration of unemployment increases. If you lose your job when the economy is not doing quite as well, it's going to be harder to find that next job.
And, you know, overall, California's unemployment rate is actually higher than the national average, mm-hmm. with ours at 5.7%, the national at 4.9%. What does that tell you?
Well, you know, it's really hard to make those comparisons because there's so many things that are different about California than the rest of the country. We have a more diverse population. We have a great variety in the amount of education that people have. We have a in many ways, pro-cyclical economy, where when it booms, it really booms, and when it busts, it really busts. So it's really hard to isolate one particular factor that makes our unemployment rate higher than the national average. You know, certainly somebody who doesn't like all the regulation coming out of the state government might point to that and say that's a part of the problem, that it's not a business-friendly environment. It's hard to kind of point to one particular thing. Fortunately, our unemployment rate is significantly lower than the state average.
Here in San Diego?
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, while unemployment is one economic marker, tourism is another. So here we are, middle of the summer. How is the tourism industry looking for San Diego County?
One of the bright spots in this report is actually leisure and hospitality. So we've seen employment in leisure hospitality increase, and it will continue to increase probably through August, which is its typical peak. And we are within a couple hundred jobs of the pre-pandemic high. So we just lost a ton of tourism and hospitality jobs during the pandemic, and it's been a rough and difficult climb back from the nadir right during the pandemic back to where we are. And so my guess is that next month we'll see employment finally exceed its pre-pandemic high, which will be cause for celebration.
Yeah. Well, San Diego's hotel tax went up in May. What mm-hmm. effect do you think that'll have?
For one thing, it brings in more resources to pay for essential services. You know, we've got a tremendous backlog in the city and across the region in investments in things like stormwater and wastewater infrastructure and things like that. And we really we need the revenue. So that's a positive thing. Of course, no industry wants to be taxed. So I'm sure that if you brought in hotel owners, they might not love this. But San Diego does have the third highest hotel occupancy of any major American market. It's only behind Oahu and New York City. So we are doing great mm-hmm. in our accommodations sector. It's a very, very strong sector of the economy.
Given that, the San Diego City Council is currently considering a proposal to raise the minimum wage for mm-hmm. hospitality workers to $25 an hour. What are some of the considerations you'd take in evaluating that proposal?
Yeah, that's a great question. Traditionally, people who don't like higher minimum wages say, you know, they imagine that maybe a business has a set amount of money to spend on workers. And if you increase the minimum wage, then they're just going to have to hire fewer workers because, you know, they're going to blow through that labor budget on a smaller number of workers. It turns out that's not really the case. If you look at the economics literature, the research literature, typically increases in minimum wages don't lead to decreases in overall employment. There are some cases where maybe teenagers or, you know, other people who are kind of marginally employed might see fewer hours or something like that. But typically, the negative impacts are not as great as we might imagine them to be. Whether this is the right policy for California is a question way above my pay grade, or for San Diego. That's not up to me to decide. But I would say that, you know, we have a very, very healthy accommodations industry here, and you know, maybe it is the case that they cannot afford to provide excellent quality services and also pay their workers living wages. If that's the case, that's disappointing. But my hope is that is possible. You know, $25 an hour, about $50,000 a year, right? It's hard to make ends meet in San Diego on that. Most measures, and there's a variety of measures from MIT and the University of Washington about kind of a self-sufficiency wage, or what's the lowest wage that you can make and meet your basic financial obligations without government assistance. For a single adult with no dependents, typically that's going to be somewhere in $21 to $25 an hour, right? So what we're talking about is for somebody who doesn't even have kids, who has nobody who's relying on them, this is really just enough to make ends meet. It's difficult in San Diego. You know, the cost of living is so high, and particularly the cost of housing. And so I'd love to see us living in a world where everybody who's doing the essential work that that we all rely on is compensated in a way that allows them to live independently.
Well, in keeping with tourism, it is Comic-Con week in San Diego, and I'd like to talk about its impact on our local economy. Here's what San Diego Convention Center's Maren Dougherty told our John Carroll earlier this week.
We see an economic impact here of more than $160 million, including the direct and indirect spending from visitors, the hotels, the restaurants, the bars, buying things at local boutiques. All of that is what goes into that economic impact.
So can you tell us more about Comic-Con and what an event like this really means for the local economy?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I can tell you about it is that it's a blast, and I encourage you to go. And if you can't afford tickets or find them, that's really the hard time, is tracking them down. Just go and hang out and see everybody dressed up outside, and it's a blast. But the impact, you know, there's a kind of a typical a model that people use to estimate economic impact. And, you know, it's hard to do these things. But a good faith estimate is, yeah, $161 million is what the Convention Center thinks it is. You know, what is $161 million? It's kind of hard to explain, right? Like,
yeah,
$1 million is about how much money fits in a suitcase. I mean, in a briefcase, rather. Like, a briefcase full of $100 bills, that's $1 million.
Okay.
A bus full of $100 bills is $1 billion, right?
Okay.
So, you know, 160 free suitcases or briefcases full of $100 bills. I mean, I don't know. Like, how do you imagine most of us never interact with $160 million? So if I just throw that number out there, I mean, what does it mean? I think on a personal level, what it means to people in the region is that restaurant owners and retail shops and, you know, people who are selling goods and services in the region, many of them see a big bump, and that's great. And it's good for the hotel industry. Certainly, they've got, what is it, 98% occupancy or something during the convention. And so, you know, it's a boon to the local economy. It's not a boon to everybody, right? There's some people who are staying away from downtown. Locals are staying away because they know it's going to be a madhouse. So, you know, it doesn't benefit everybody, but it's wonderful for the economy. It brings in a lot of money, and yeah, I mean, I think it's also just a fun signature San Diego thing. And if you live here, you owe it to yourself to go down and just enjoy the show.
Indeed. Well, we can't get away from the conversation about our local economy without talking about what's happening nationally. So what impact is the White House having on our local economy? Because when we last spoke, we were talking about tariffs and how that could impact San Diego. Anything yet?
I mean, we still are seeing that, and it's still shaking out. Just recently, steel tariffs rose from 25% to 50%. That's increasing not only the price of imported steel, but it's leading domestic manufacturers to increase their prices. One of the things that's really interesting is, you know, sometimes you think, hey, we could protect the workers in this industry if we put a tariff on goods that are coming in from out of the country. But often those goods, particularly like steel, are essential inputs for other industries. So while maybe you protect one person who's working in the steel industry, that could negatively impact the work that 50 other workers are doing in other industries that rely on an affordable supply of steel. And so and that's a real challenge when you increase prices. And we had a moment of high inflation. And the real goal is to make sure that we get back to 2% inflation, which is what we consider to be stability, before people start to create internal expectations that for the long term, inflation is going to be high. And so that's why the tariffs are so problematic, is because they increase the price of goods, right? Lots of articles about how Walmart has increased the prices of many of their goods. And, you know, you see steel prices going up, which results in car prices going up and all of that stuff, right? So the tariffs are really problematic because they create this challenge with inflation, which the Fed has to fight with high interest rates, which decreases businesses' willingness to invest. So you see how it's this whole chain process, right?
Sure.
This is how the economy works. Is there's this incredibly intricate chain of causality that works through the economy. And when somebody comes and says, we're going to, you know, slap huge tariffs on in all these countries, you know, it might not be obvious. Well, that's going to require the Fed to keep interest rates high so that inflation doesn't increase. And when interest rates are high, then businesses don't invest. And then businesses don't invest. Then people don't get hired. And then people don't get hired. Then they don't have money to spend. And then the economy shrinks, right? So it's hard to kind of explain in a nice buttoned up way.
Sure, yeah.
This really complex machine that the economy truly is.
So much to cover here that we didn't make it all through the questions that I had, but I know this is going to be a continuing conversation, hopefully on a weekly basis or
I'd
something. So we'll definitely talk again soon. I've been speaking with Daniel Innamark. He's chief economist at the Policy and Innovation Center. Daniel, thank you so much for your expertise.
Thanks for having me.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
KPBS On Demand is supported by PaintCare, offering households and businesses in California more than 800 leftover paint drop-off sites for recycling. Quantities of 100-plus gallons of paint may qualify for a large volume pickup. Learn more at paintcare.org.